This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the 3rd of July. Now, if you are living in South Africa, remember, government wants to dick you one more time tomorrow and the fuel price is going up. I know what you're saying, Ben, but it's more than just the government when it comes to petrol prices. Yes, I know, but there's all these different levies and the road accident fund, and our petrol is way too high. So they could also cut you, do us a solid, maybe cut back all the other crap. Oh, well, that was unprovoked. But yes, fill up with petrol now before it becomes even more expensive. I know, the daily struggles. Huh? It's a tough life. It gets tougher all the time. Are you right there, Bobby?
I'm amazing.
Okay. Microphone seems to be giving you some issues.
No, I was just looking for something I saw last night about these petrol prices and how cheap petrol is in other countries. There was a top 10 list that was going around online that I saw. That just shook me a bit. But yeah, we're obviously not in the top 10 when it comes to cheap petrol prices.
We're not. And what's frustrating is that for so long now, a lot of the things in this country have been generally, by world standards, quite affordable, which is great, because also we don't really, by world standards, again, our income is, judging by the rand's value, all that kind of stuff, also isn't up there. But now, with inflation, all these different kind of things, all the things we used to have of good value are now going up and up. Basically, we're going to be left with cheap beer. That's going to be all we're going to be left with on our current trajectory.
Well, that's all you deserve, really.
Can't run cars on beer, though. Trust me, people have tried. So, in the last hour, I said that there's actually a Backstreet Boys rape accusation that no one really talks about.
Yes, Nick Carter, who is the blonde one from...
He's the blonde one.
The Backstreet Boys, who looks like he's the youngest.
Yeah, Melissa Schumann, she was allegedly raped by Nick Carter in 2003. So everyone always says, well, why didn't she say something sooner? Well, apparently she did. In 2006, she went forth and made a claim. She filed it with the police, but then she was just basically shouted down from there. Her fan, the Backstreet Boys fans took to her, took her to pieces, so basically saying she's making stories up for attention. But she was also a recording artist. And what made it even more awkward is that she was signed to the same label as these guys.
No.
So Nick Carter and his team, again, this is all on reports, this is not being proved yet. Nick Carter and his team went on the offensive and tried to do whatever they could to obviously silence the whole story. Even so, they made her perform with him.
What?
On stage afterwards, yeah. So here she is talking about this whole thing. Yeah, look, it's news to me as well.
I'd actually confided in my manager at that time. About pressing charges, and I was told that he had the most powerful litigator in the country and that I didn't have the money to pay for an attorney to essentially defend me if he were to come after me. And then he was also just like, you know, you're trying to build a name for yourself right now. Everyone's going to call you, you know, fame hungry, that you're trying to use this to better yourself or get your name out there. And, you know, at this point, like, there's nothing we can do. And I remember telling him, like, oh, so that's it? Like, he just gets away with it? And he was just like, you know.
Yeah, that's how it works a lot of time in life. But that's quite a story, huh? And, again, people are going to say, well, these are just frivolous allegations, but I don't know. When it sounds as convincing as that, and I know you can be swayed, so who knows what real story is here, but this is a genuine case. When you have so much money and lawyers behind you, you can kind of sweep these things under the table.
And also, I think what a lot of people don't realize is the close proximity that these kind of rape stories come out as a lot of the time. So like you were saying, she was part of the same label.
Yep.
So already people are like, what are the chances that he would take that chance and, sure, you know, commit something like that? But this is how a lot of these cases unfold. And like you said, she does sound traumatized, and it's just such a sad story. And also, why would she make up something like this and then still be telling the story so many years later, 15 years later, for that matter?
Yeah.
She's obviously suffered some kind of trauma, and I reckon it's related to this case.
So she was 18 at the time, he was 22, he provided liquor, this little get-together that he had, so she took a friend along with her, and they all had some shots, and then they went into a living room and they played video games. Later she said that he led her to the office, where he began to show her some of the music he was working on. So again, it's like she's a young up-and-coming recording artist. Mm. He's a Backstreet Boy. Obviously, she's going to be involved in this kind of stuff, so she's going to take interest in it. And naturally, we started to kiss, which is also, that's fine. That's all fair, all consent, nothing wrong here. He was aware that I was a virgin and I held to religious conservative Christian values. I was vocal about this. Everyone knew about this, including those that represented her. And then from there, he went on to, yeah, that's where it all happened.
So he took her virginity, well, on top of all of this. Yeah, there's too much going on here for someone to be making this up. Do you know what I mean? Like, what would she have to gain now, especially as well?
Especially now, exactly. Yeah, so it is a bit of a sad story. But yeah, this whole Me Too movement, there is layers upon layers upon lawyers upon layers.
Upon dodgy-ass ninjas and people that just get away with this stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of infuriating. And also just to know that if you don't have the money and the legal team, I mean, we saw it with the whole Harvey Weinstein case as well. I mean, what that guy managed to push under the rug for so long. But there was different influence at play there as well.
Sure.
Let's try a little technology update here. No, nothing's wrong. We're just trying something really...
So defensive.
I know, I'm on edge here. Sibs, how are we looking with our big Skype hookup? Sibs? How are we looking with our big Skype hookup?
It's coming along.
It's coming along.
Nice. Very, very slow, but coming.
Okay. Well, that's what progress is called. It could be slow, it could be steady. As long as we all win the race, eventually we'll get there. Yassas, you guys are playing cock music today. Well, Wugnyam... Your profile picture.
I think we should start theming the days to help with the music. What do you think?
No, fine. I'm all with it. Go ahead. Look, a lot of the time... it's like air traffic control in this place. A lot of the time, it's just difficult to kind of put this all together. But thanks for your feedback. Look, I wasn't completely on board with the music. It was on the server. I clicked a button. Hey, I have a Uniqlo down feather jacket. Good quality from Brendan. That's Roger Federer's new sponsor.
Oh, okay. So it is a reputable brand, this.
Yeah. Well, okay. Brendan's got a down feather jacket. So, I mean, if you make a down feather jacket, you're not messing around. Hi Ben, I do feel if England will find a way to get to the final, but then they'll get to face either Brazil, France or Uruguay in the final, but then there's a good chance they will be beaten. If they took the other route, ending in the first group, then they would probably have a better chance to beat those three teams, because the more games Brazil, France and Uruguay play together, the better they are getting. We'll fix the match against Belgium, come back and bite them. I think it will. I totally agree with you here. No, it was such a short-sighted way of trying to get to the final, which is an ambitious start with, seeing as these guys lost, of course, to Iceland in the Euro Championships when the going got tough. Maybe even as soon as tonight. But then again, Japan could also beat England. Let's see. Maybe Colombia there. Yeah. Okay, look, I get what you're saying. I think England has taken the wrong call here, and they're putting a lot to chance. And I don't see them getting to the final. There's some proper teams in this tournament. I know there's upsets all around. But no.
It's looking tight now. No. It's looking like real business.
Yeah, real business. Speaking of real business, we've got a Skype line. Thanks, Sibs. All the way through to London.
Yes, good morning, Ben.
Ah, Gareth Cliff, hi.
Hey, how are you? Hello, Pops. How's everybody?
Good morning. Good. How are you? You sound so chipper.
Good. Yeah, we've just broken up. It is 6 in the morning here, so 7 o'clock, 7:14 in the morning there.
Yeah.
And it's looking good. We had such an interesting day yesterday. It was Sia's first day in London. Sia, are you there?
Top of the morning to you.
Are you guys in separate hotels?
We're in separate rooms.
He's just showing off now.
Come on.
Ask Sia what he thinks of London, day one.
Sia, how did it go day one?
My goodness. We landed in London just a little after 7 a.m., and it's been a sensory overload in only the best way. From even as corny as it is being stuck in traffic, but I've been taking all of that in.
You sound hungover, sir. You sound so hungover right now.
Well, this is how I sound as groggy as it is when I wake up. Thank you. to taking all of the different sites into the awesome meetings and people we've been chatting to. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to the rest of the week.
Oh, Ben, you'll like this one. We met a guy yesterday called Ben Goldsmith. His sister is Jemima Khan.
Okay.
And he's the guy who produced that series that you spoke about, the Babylon on Fire.
Oh, wow.
That documentary.
He actually produced that.
That is an incredible piece of work. It really is.
Yeah, superb stuff. So he's also runs a big venture capital business here that does a lot to do with sustainable energy and conservation. And that sounds boring, but he's a really interesting guy. Told us the most fascinating story about the life cycle of the eel.
Of all things.
and you'd think, oh, no, that sounds horrible, but it is absolutely amazing.
Wow. So have you guys got like an itinerary as far as have you structured your days within doing interviews and then obviously indulging Sia with sightseeing?
Well, yesterday I think Sia's favorite thing was seeing Buckingham Palace for the first time. We were walking across a bridge in St. James's Park. And I said to him, look there, Sia. And he went, oh.
I have to just say the thing that I've been finding with London is for so long, because it's a city that we read up about and we see so often in movies or in pictures, when you walk outside, you have to remind yourself like, no, this is not a storybook. You are seeing this real life. Rightly so, as Gareth was saying, we were casually just in a park and we were walking over a bridge and we turn around. And there it was, like this image I've seen all the time in news and an ad. Yeah, it was a moment that does as really, as you'd expect, took my breath away. It was amazing.
And then did you turn around and see, do you see any
Lizzie?
Do you see any royals feeding the ducks?
No. We did get as close as we could. Because, of course, there's security and there's a massive fence around it. And there are tons of other tourists there. We saw it up close. We took a few pictures there as well. And it was amazing just to see the vastness of the entire property as well. Because it's the palace, but there are parks and there's statues galore all around there. It really is a sight to behold. It did not let me down at all.
And was Meghan Markle's family outside selling old photos and shirts and cups and stuff?
No, we did see Fergie's house, though. Ask Sia to describe that.
Oh, Fergie's house is just way down the road, and it's a little outhouse, really, that they just left her with. Like, yeah, here you go, amuse yourself there. No, but of course, you know, Samantha Markle and I are Twitter BFFs. So I just found out that she has been asked to do Celebrity Big Brother.
Mm. Oh, no. And she obviously said yes.
In the UK.
She's just asking for trouble if she considers taking that on.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, I've got a very brief synopsis of yesterday, so I'll fill you in some more when we're back, and we'll actually play you some of the interviews and that kind of thing. So the first thing we did when we arrived was just take a walk around and kind of orientate, because it's Sia's first time, and there were things that I haven't seen in the summer that are just spectacular. We're about... Our hotel's right near the London Eye, so you can get a bird's eye view of the whole city. We'll probably do that later today. And then we started the program, went for lunch at a very fancy restaurant in St. James called Villandry.
Very fancy.
And even Sia found something to eat there, which was quite interesting. We then went through to a place called Truefitton Hill, which is the world's oldest... barber and hairdresser.
Wow.
It was established in the 1800s, and they gave me a treatment with a, you know, cutthroat razor and kind of facial and everything else. They really are spectacular. They do it old school. There was an old man sitting waiting with me afterwards, and he sounded Ben like a cartoon character. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, how do you know where you're from?
That kind of thing. And then we went from there to meet Ben Goldsmith at a very exclusive club called 25. What's it called? I'll check for you in a second. But, hang on 1 second. I'll just tell you what the place is called. You wouldn't even know it was there. 5 Hertford Street. It's in Mayfair. Mm-hmm. One of those gentlemen's clubs. It used to be a brothel And
well,
they
used to be, yeah.
Yeah, and in the Second World War, they all the prostitutes moved to Soho, and they didn't know what to do with this property. And it's beautiful. It's sort of a real club with, you know, these furnished rooms where you can have meetings and rooms where you can, you know, sort of have old men sitting smoking cigars. Arnold Schwarzenegger was there last week. Apparently, George Clooney comes every other day for breakfast. And, of course, Wimbledon's on this week, so there's going to be a whole lot of action there as well. Underneath is a club called Lulu's, which is quite famous. You know, a nightclub, a dance club. And we might go there on Saturday to check it out again. And then we went for dinner last night with Casper Lee, who's obviously South Africa's most successful online export in media terms. You know, millions of followers on YouTube. And we had a very nice dinner with him at a place called Flesh and Buns.
Yeah.
Where you get, you order a whole lot of buns, you know, sort of like rolls, I suppose. And then you order different kinds of fillings for them as well. It was really nice. And our kind of chaperone around London, Eleanor Williams, has been showing us all kinds of things that unless you lived here, you wouldn't know nearly as many of the kind of side streets and little fun places that only Londoners know and that kind of thing.
Gareth, that sounds fascinating. It really is. I mean, I was quite jealous when you guys left, but now completely. But we do need to get to business here. And
right.
As you know, here on Cliff Central, we celebrate freedom of choice with custom-made solutions and so much freedom in style, design, and functional choice. The Untrained Tailor Blinds collection is the perfect fit. Now, you guys aren't turning a blind eye to the show this week, which is quite nice, because, I mean, no. there have been times where maybe you guys could go there and say, oh, sorry, no connection. You guys aren't. You're right here. So we also don't want to turn a blind eye to dirt in your home. Now, Gareth, I know with your OCD, you've got some pretty strong interests around this whole topic. And over the weekend, because Danielle's been away for the whole week, and unfortunately we haven't had our domestic helper for a few weeks, so I've actually been turning, well, all my attentions to cleaning the house. I spent the entire day cleaning, and we'd live quite well, I think, when it comes to cleaning this. I was horrified by how difficult it was and how horrible vacuum cleaners are once you fill them. But now...
Well, have you noticed how quickly everything gets dirty as well?
Oh.
If you don't do the washing or you don't do the dishes for more than 3 days, it builds up, and eventually it's such a goddamn mission that you may as well have just never started in the first place, and you might not ever want to, because it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Well, it does. You can keep on top of like the basic things like the washing and the dishes, but it's like the mopping of the floors and the general toilet areas and carpets. So, you know, we started the show by saying that there's a recent survey showed that our homes are generally dirtier than a chimpanzee's nest. But you can kind of see why, right? Because when you're outside, there's the air circulation. It's all quite wild, and it all gets rejuvenated. But we, right now in winter, are staying indoors. The windows are kind of closed. There's a lot of heaters on, and heat equals what? Bacteria? So if there was ever a time that's going to be dodgy, it'll be during the winter.
So did you just say that our houses are dirtier than a chimpanzee's nest?
Studies have proved this, yes. Especially our beds.
No.
Especially our beds.
How crazy is that? And lest we forget the obvious, chimpanzees fling each other's, like, feces around.
Yeah, it's a very fair point that, sir. We are being, well, not even compared, we actually come out worse.
Jeez, that is now, that's depressing. Oh my God, I thought we were cleaner than other animals, but it turns out we're filthy. Filthy.
Yeah, well, look.
Hang on a second. You also mentioned, what was that fact you just gave out now, that when it's hot and humid, when we use heaters and things, we breed bacteria?
Well, exactly. So if you were to look at our beds as well, electric blankets, heavy heavy duvets right now, probably we're all together with us. So like we spoke a few weeks ago, we've all got our ways of getting through winter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's University of North Carolina did a very comprehensive study about this, and our beds are actually harboring a host of nasty bacteria. This is a word I don't like, debris, basically, including skin cells, oral, and fecal bacteria.
Ew.
Oh. How do you like that, Poppy? Huh?
So if you're not changing your sheets pretty frequently...
That's why you have to do a change of bedding at least once a week.
Well, you know, in Switzerland, my parents went and visited some friends this year. They've got a system. So they've got these special clothes lines basically onto the balcony. So you're nice and warm and cozy inside. And as you wake up in the morning, you don't make your bed. You put your bed basically outside. So you take all and it just hangs outside in the open air.
Oh,
so,
cool.
So your bedding never spends more. The only time it's actually on the bed is when you're there. Otherwise, it's being aerated outside. Makes a lot of sense, right? Because if you've got sweaty skin cells all this kind of stuff, and then you make your bed straight afterwards, you're then trapping it in for another day of festation.
Oh.
And then you come and then you stir the pot again, essentially by sleeping in the warm bed again.
Jeez.
Makes you think.
We're in London, so it's worth remarking. You know how much I love history.
Yes.
So people used to live, it would have been better to live in a straw hut because at least the air can pass through and, you know, it has sort of porous walls and, you know, some of the stuff can come in, some of the stuff out. And actually it's quite sort of, most of the sort of dwellings that our early ancestors used to live in, they would make a fire in the middle of it and therefore it would kill a lot of the really dangerous stuff, or at least chase it out of the hut. Not in London, not in those tenement buildings that they used to have here. I mean, people used to get a bedpan full of, you know, shit, piss and everything else. And they'd just throw it straight out of the window onto the streets, and the streets would just be these rivers of turds and all kinds of horrible.
Oh. Yeah.
I have so many visuals that I did not want to have this morning.
Yeah, because when you think of an old city like this, you think, oh, well, it's always been, you know, there's been a lot of nice infrastructure and everything else. Not so. The sewers were the streets. And you'd be walking past underneath a building and someone would shout something from a window and you'd have to run out of the way. Otherwise, you'd end up with the contents of that bedpan on your head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing that. From Downton Abbey days. I mean, that's what the staff used to do. The first couple of hours of their day was literally just cleaning out these pans. So, I mean, if the cook had maybe got a bit liberal with the spices the night before, who knows what your morning could entail?
Sus.
It is. Talking
about changing sheets and things. I mean, how often are you meant to change them?
Once because a there's week a microbiologist.
Yeah. There's a guy called Philip Tierno from New York. He says that we should be washing duvet covers and pillowcases once a week to avoid illness.
Well, maybe it's my OCD, but at home, Daniel and I, we have obviously our pillowcases and pillows, but we actually have hand towels we put on top of that, so that you're washing a hand towel relatively frequently. You know, you don't want to touch stuff touching your face.
That's actually such a smart move.
I do that to not get my makeup on.
Well, there's also that, yeah. So maybe it's a step too far, but again, it's a precaution. Because when it comes to this kind of stuff, and I'm sure you can all agree with me, I'd rather err on the side of caution than have to be in a stage where chimpanzees are literally laughing at us.
I'm laughing at you now that you put a towel on your pillow.
Yeah, it's a nice baby blue one.
another professor, someone called Val Curtis from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, she doesn't believe that leaving your sheets on for an extra few weeks can lead to health problems, so she disagrees with that guy from New York. She says people should change them once a week for aesthetic reasons, not for health reasons.
Right. Maybe she's in the school of thought that you need to build up your immune system by having some free radicals and microbes hanging around you.
Oh, hell no. But you mentioned earlier it's always a good idea not to turn a blind eye to these things. And we should all be looking for ways to make our houses cleaner, to make them a little bit easier to navigate, to make them a little bit healthier. And that goes for everything, including window dressing. And as Ben mentioned already, Taylor Blinds and Shutters have the answer to making your house cleaner. The likes of their ShareWeave sunscreen fabric will protect and defend your fabric against bacteria, mold, fungi, yeast, and algae.
Mold, so you need yeast, to have and fungi.
Yes. Yeast, fungi, and algae.
You know what? I was on the fence until you said yeast and fungi in the same sentence.
Oh, yeah. So the ShareWave sunscreen fabric has got Microban antibacterial treatment on it. It prevents growth of bacteria and mildew. And, you know, mildew is not particularly pleasant looking either. Makes fabric easier to clean. It keeps it clean between all the major cleans that you do. The blinds are easy to wipe with a damp cloth, and it's also much greener and eco-friendly. So as Ben said, at Cliff Central, we value your views. At Taylor Blinds, they perfect them. The Taylor Blinds collection, framing your views of the revolutionary blind design. Go and check out their website. Just look up Taylor Blinds, T-A-Y-L-O-R. That's T-A-Y-L-O-R, and start getting your house in order.
Yeah, the first line of protection around your windows. I mean, we've had this construction in our neighborhood recently. They're moving earth for some reason. I don't know. I live near a sports club, and the amount of dirt and dust and things are coming through. I mean, I've had to wash the cat 3 times in the last 2 weeks. You know, cats wash themselves. No, you're going to need... I need to wash the cats.
How did you do that? Because if you put a cat in a bath, things go very bad.
Poppy's horrified. Well, thankfully, Hopkins actually likes the bath, which is okay in its own way. With Meowsers, it's basically I take a towel, I take some warm water, and we just get scrubbing. And then I put it in front of the heater for like an hour. No, she comes out of it softer and fresher.
She must hate you. Wow.
So are you guys going to go back to bed, or is your day no time for that kind of stuff? You're literally all action.
No, today is going to be another really, really busy day, and we've got the England match today as well. Yes. It's at 8 or something, right, Ben?
So it'll be 8 o'clock our time, which I imagine what's... Are you guys in the same time as us? No, you're an hour behind.
It'll be 9 o'clock here then. Or is it... Is
7
it,
o'clock.
It's earlier, it's 7 o'clock. So... We're going to be watching that at a proper English pub and getting in with the locals, and Sia's going to learn some Cockney rhyming slang.
Oh, gosh. Please.
Yeah, something that will make me feel better, isn't it?
Gareth, you've got to take some first-hand audio around this, because
I will.
Sia's no doubt going to firstly embarrass you and also probably embarrass the humankind with the question he's going to ask these people. But it's interesting to see if they have patience.
And then we've got the Global Entrepreneurship Games today, which should be really, really interesting. You know, part of what we're doing here is to do with the Department of Trade, which is a government department in the UK. And they're trying to encourage all across the world, British companies to do their thing and other companies from all over the world to invest in Britain. So part of the startup games that we'll be attending today is where we'll pretend to be investors. We've got an app on our phones that gives us £1 million. It's not actually £1 million, but we have a figurative £1 million to invest in startups. And all these different entrepreneurs from all over Britain and the world will come and pitch their businesses to us, and then we'll decide which ones to invest in. And then there are obviously real investors who will come in with their own greenfield investments and decide where to allocate those funds. So that's all happening today. It's called the Global Entrepreneur Games.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And Sia, how's the wardrobe going so far? Are your outfits holding up?
I have a whole London influence and inspiration with all of my clothes for every single different Instagram picture, because you know these things are important. so far so good. My luggage was slightly overweight, but the good people at Virgin Atlantic let me through. So I'm good and happy on that front. And just, yeah, got to impress the locals in the best way.
Yeah, the fashion there is quite epic.
And if you go into this pub later and see Meghan Markle sipping a pint, what are you going to say to her?
Well, I'll say, girl, grab a seat, let us cook it up. You and I have a lot to say. But on the fashion thing, I was actually remarking to Gareth as we were walking the streets yesterday, how everyone here looks so well put together. And I don't know whether it's because they rarely get such great weather, where everyone now has a chance to wear shorts and play up with shirts, but everyone also looks happier in the streets too. It's really, really great.
Yeah, you're lucky there in summer.
Yeah, let's see you say that in October.
Well, you know, people also dress up because you're expected to look pretty sharp for work. They'll take their sneakers on the walk and then put the sneakers in a bag and take out of the same bag their smart shoes. And, you know, there's a lot of summery fashion, too, because everybody's enjoying the sun. And it seems like it's a record sunny season. They're expecting 4 more weeks of this, which is awesome. And it really was hot yesterday.
Yeah, you got a very hot week. I mean, you're looking at high 20s. I mean, people die. Yep. People die in England when it gets to that. They lose their minds. All right, guys. Well, we've got to let you go. We've got Werner Becker here. He's currently sitting outside. He's looking into the studio, going, "Have I made a big call? Waking up this early to come see these people?" Well, we're going to do him proud, Poppy and I. He's going to be in it just now. And so, bye, guys. We'll chat tomorrow, huh?
We'll chat to you tomorrow. Okay. Cool.
Enjoy awesome. The soccer. I hope England win.
Folks. Yeah. Otherwise, you've got a tough night, cool. And see, I might get a bottle around the head. Yeah. See you tomorrow, guys. Ciao. No, nothing. See you. Have fun.
Cheers,
bye.
Cheers,
bye. 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 Well, I'm glad they're having a good time.
I love London. I love England. I love everything about it. Historically, now, geez, they're really lucky.
But could you do it with Sia?
Of course I could. London's doable with anyone.
I reckon traveling with Sia must be one of the most daunting things.
Why? It's nice to see London through.
Nothing's ever straightforward with Sia. It's a song and dance. It's
labored. That's exactly what I want.
All right. Okay, so we've got Werner coming in a second, and of course, stay with us. In the third hour, we've got this interview that Gareth did with Neil Harbison, the world's only cyborg. He's the only one. And
do you have a pick with this guy?
He's recruiting. I do have a pick. It's on my...
Please tweet us.
Yeah, it'll all go out on cliffcentral.com. Of course, it's a pre-recorded interview, so you get to enjoy that. But yeah, we've got Werner up next. You know what we're going to do? We're actually going to play his song. His latest song, I'm With You.
Nice.
We're then going to get him in here. I think it would be a nice way to start things. Also give us a chance to catch our breath, as they say. Okay, so I need to put that over there. Poppy, how am I doing otherwise? Today's much better.
Way a gazillion times better.
Things are working for us. So here is Werner Becker's song, I'm With You, and then he will be in studio right afterwards.
Oh, I'm with you. Oh, I'm with you. Oh, I'm with you. Oh, I'm with you. Oh, I'm with you, oh, I'm with you.
So that was Werner Becker, I'm With You. And Poppy, he's with us right now.
Hi, Werner, welcome.
Whoa. Again, it's like seconds away from perfection, and I let myself down like that. Hang on a secchi. So Werner's actually in here, but he's not just in here, he's in here with his guitar as well. So we're going to have a bit of live chat, live conversation, live music as well. If I can just get his microphone working. Boom.
How's it?
There we go.
Well, thanks for joining us today. We're obviously a little bit shorter staffed of our usual complement here. Gareth and Sia will be back in studio if you are wondering. They'll be back next week. They've got a sort of quick fire week in London where they're getting all these interviews together. But yeah, Vern is in with us today. Vern, thanks for joining us.
It's a great pleasure.
Are you based up here in the General Gauteng?
Yes, I'm based in Linden at the moment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. That's why I went to school as well. So like, I just love that area.
Cool.
I grew up in Pretoria East, and
ooh,
I moved
so
to
many Pretoria connections.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then like we moved to Joburg when I was about 15, and I wanted to move back to Pretoria, and I did, and I absolutely hated it. I missed Joburg, you know. So
Linden's really cool nowadays. So my girlfriend and I did this thing. We do it like once a month. It's called like a backgammon bar crawl, where we go to different places, play a game of backgammon. The loser pays for the drinks, and we go and we have like a best of three game.
Oh, wow.
And Linden's a great place for that because you've got all these different places within walking distance.
Yeah, it's great for bar hopping.
Yeah, there's this really amazing, like, this craft beer library. You've been to that?
I used to actually jam there on weekends. So that was like a regular gig for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
So, have you been to this place?
I have not.
Imagine if, like, it's like a boy's kind of fantasy to be able to make your own craft beer library. So it's a relatively small place. I mean, the entire place is probably the size of the studio.
I've seen it.
And it's just wall-to-wall craft beers and ciders.
Nice.
And it's crazy because, like, when you go to Capital Craft, it's like this massive venue, whereas this place is so small, and it's got, like, a sick variety of beers. So, yeah, it is quite crazy. It's awesome. Yeah.
Just listening to your song that we opened up with there, I was thinking, like, kind of like a Ben sort of Howard sound. And I see it in your bio here, in the brief that Sia put together. He's definitely one of your influences. But like your life in music has obviously been right from the start, because you look very comfortable right now with your guitar.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it was a nice journey. My dad was a musician as well, so I grew up with music. So it's never been like a thing where I've kind of doubted it or wondered if I should do it. I've always felt that I want to do it. It's just that at one point in my life, my parents, because my dad was a musician and my mom was an artist, at one point, they didn't want me to go do music because they were like, this is a tough life.
Yeah.
Like, you should do something that you can, like, settle down with.
Learn from our mistakes.
Exactly.
And so has it been a tough ride or no?
I think I learned a lot from my dad. My dad did performance solely, you know, and I've learned to kind of hustle. And I think that's important when you're doing anything in creative industry.
Well, especially nowadays, I think there's a lot more hustle to creativity than, say, your dad's generation.
Definitely. You don't generally focus on one thing anymore. And so this is my passion, and performing is what I would love to do most. But I do composition for people, and I do teaching, and I build guitars and stuff like that. So, like, I do many things.
You build guitars?
Yeah. You can check out my Instagram.
From scratch?
Yeah. Currently building an acoustic guitar. It's actually my first one, but that's something that I really want to get into. That's something that I never knew I would love this much.
Yeah.
And how are you learning how to build the guitars? Is that online or?
No, actually through a luthier. His name's Murray Kuhn. He lives in Honeydew.
Through a what?
A luthier. A luthier.
What's
that? So that's an instrument builder. Funny,
you're blowing my mind. Oh,
okay.
Sounds like a secret sector of people we didn't know about.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm learning through him. He's teaching me how to do this, and it's been absolutely awesome. I'm almost done. I think within the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll have a video up on my Instagram with me playing the guitar, which is really cool.
But that's super rare. Like, yesterday we talked about sort of niche audiences on YouTube and on the internet.
Mm.
Back to the feature you brought up, Poppy, about the internet, 25 top most influential people. You find these niches, you put your heart and soul into that kind of stuff, there's always a demand for it.
Mm.
Because guitars have been around for how long?
Forever.
Exactly.
I didn't even know that that's something you could learn
to do.
But with this always a need for premiumization and this whole craft kind of thing. So yeah, like handcrafted guitars.
Mm.
I mean, if you've got a kid that really wants to get into music, you want to buy something special.
Sure.
Get them one of these.
Yes, definitely. And also I think it's very much for a professional musician, that's something that's unique. You know, if you're buying a factory built guitar, something that's like goes through a production line, 20 guys work on it. Whereas when you know that one guy's building this guitar, he's putting all of his efforts into it, you know that you'll reach exactly what you want with that instrument. You know, you're going to have.
Completely, yeah. And you can obviously have different specifications. So definitely. If I were to say I want a guitar of a certain sort of look and feel, then you can actually do that yourself. I mean, when you arrived in the studio now, you were actually just tuning your guitar for a certain kind of way you want to sound in the studio right now.
Definitely, yeah. I was just tuning a guitar because I play in loads of different tunings as well. Like, I started off in standard tuning, just like normal standard guitar tuning, and it kind of bored me a little bit, you know. I was like, I got used to the chord shapes, and so eventually I knew that, oh, this song uses the same chord. So when I would try and write a song, I would just think of the other person's song that I know with that uses the same chords. But then I started tuning into weird different tunings, which is also something that Ben Howard does.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of follow your ear then. You don't have to use chord shapes to make a song. You can kind of just wing it and find something that sounds nice, and you don't even know what it is, but that's kind of inspiring in its own way.
Yeah, sure.
Quick question, and I'm looking at you now. Please don't take offense to this, but with runners, you kind of have to keep your feet as rough as possible. If you're running long distance, and I've just noticed that your fingernails are long, does that help with the guitar playing?
Definitely.
Okay. Just checking.
So if you'll check out my left hand, it's a bit shorter.
Yeah.
And the right hand has got long fingernails. So for the picking and plucking and strumming, the right hand has some long fingernails.
You've got longer nails than me, bruh.
Thank you. That's a big compliment.
Fascinating. So you obviously have like the formal training towards your craft. I mean, you've gone through the campus of performing arts, and you've now learned how to write songs, all that kind of stuff. Has it, like, when you started this kind of stuff, did you think that you were going to do just one aspect and then just were pleasantly surprised? Like you said earlier, you know, you can get bored by a few things. Was there an original start point, or was it always just being, see where the passion takes me?
I think at first I realized that I have to, because my parents were adamant that I have to kind of at least pay a bit for my studies, like just kind of put some money towards it. And so my dad suggested that I start teaching music. And so that was the first real thing. That and performing were the first two.
It also
real
takes
things.
The glamour away quite quickly.
It does.
You know, it's like hard work.
It does. And then you realize that, oh, wow, this is actually quite a 9-to-5 job as well. And you have to graft throughout the day and then sometimes even at night. So I think that's where I started, basically, with teaching and performing here and there. The first performance I had was an open mic night, and it was awesome. I still remember that night. It still feels to me
nervous as hell for that.
Yeah, very nervous, and my family was there, and but I was so excited as well, and I prepared very well. And to me, that was still one of my best performances ever, like from a personal respect, you know.
Do you teach adults how to play guitar?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm coming for lessons.
Great.
I used to play in high school, and then my guitar teacher was an alcoholic.
Oh.
So he came to one lesson out of about 30.
So very sad song then, Papa.
What's the first song that you teach people to play on the guitar? Because I think for piano, is it chopsticks or like...
So I teach piano, guitar, and vocals.
Oh, snap.
And generally, with all three instruments, I start with a bit of technical skill. So first of all, it's like a scale or two on whichever instrument you're learning. And then on guitar, specifically some chords. And then I'll generally take a song that the student wants to learn, you know. I don't want people to do music that I like or that I prefer them to know. I want them to learn something that they want to learn, you know.
It's a personal thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's something that if you like Leonard Cohen, then you'll love to learn a Leonard Cohen song. So why wouldn't I teach you that, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
But now, do you ever get into the actual, like, songwriting with the teacher? Because, I mean, that must be very difficult, because you can't exactly tell, like, how would you go about getting people to write better songs? Because it's a very personal storytelling aspect, isn't it?
Yeah, like, I learned a lot from one of my lecturers when I was studying, Graham Curry. He's a big industry jazz cat, and he also writes a lot of songs. He taught songwriting at COPA, and I've actually got a student, he's 16, but he writes... Oh, he writes incredible songs. And so at first I was teaching him guitar and piano, and I realized that he was really good. And at one point he started playing me some of his songs. And it turned into songwriting sessions almost immediately. And now when I go to him, it's almost a consistent thing. Every time I get there, we start writing songs, or we edit some of his songs. And you kind of guide it by just... tickling people's imagination, I would say. It's not a thing that you can really go into depth with regards to technicality. You can tickle someone's imagination and say, okay, cool, but what does this make you think of? What's a different way of saying this? What metaphors do you think can portray this well?
I guess it could be quite similar to comedy. You know, you find certain things you want to do, and you get a few ideas, and you string it together.
Yeah, and then also oftentimes I think it's a go with the flow kind of thing in the moment.
Sure. So the message here, Sean says that he's just downloaded all of your music, proper stuff.
Oh, awesome.
Vin, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. We've got to get to an interview with Neil the Cyborg after this, but let's hear you play a little bit.
Okay.
You got something you want to play?
Yeah, this song's called Run. It's the next single after this new one that's coming out, and you can go check it out on YouTube.
Right. Okay. We'll get to all your details and that kind of stuff afterwards.
Cool. Here we go.
Sure.
Cognition fighting prowess for the dark soul taking. God is here for me. And put on your shoes, Don't you see what you've done? You dipped your finger in the pan when none of it was yours, little man. Oh, you dipped your finger in the pan when none of it was yours, little man. You see, sensitive boys are defined these days, and I know one of them. I know one of them, and I know you're alone and getting lonelier each day. But I know I'm not him. I know I'm not him. I'm not him.
This, through the radio, you can't see any of this, but that was just Verna with a guitar, kind of using it like a drum, and just seducing the strings at the same time. Man, that was incredible.
Thank you.
Is that how you play live on stage?
Yes, or? I have four or five songs that I do like that.
Because that's quite something to watch and to see you do with your eyes closed as well.
Yeah, oh wow, thank you. That's something that I always worry about, like closing my eyes, like kind of a shield against the world.
Well, I'm not here to... I'm not paying to see your eyes. I'm paying to hear your music.
Ah, that's good. Okay, cool.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. So you do have a variety of singles.
Yeah.
Where can we find your music? Where can we find you? Of course, where can we find you performing?
Okay, cool. So the next performance I have is at Capital Craft, actually in Centurion. That's going to be this Saturday from 7 to 10. I'm playing 3 sets, so there's a lot of time to see me. And then after that, I can't perform for a month because I'm going to Opikopi. So that's one to look forward to.
Because you have such a jolly, you need 3 weeks to recover?
And I wish it was for that reason. No, but we have to not perform in Limpopo and Gauteng before Opikopi. I think it's a sort of way to get people to also come and appreciate the music there, you know, instead of going watching the performers live in the area and then deciding, ah, no, let's leave Opikopi, you know. So
interesting.
Yeah, for a month beforehand, we have to kind of lie low. And yeah, you can find me on Apple Music, Spotify. Instagram is one of my favorite social networks to work with. And yeah, Deezer, any streaming site really. And then
just type in your name in for this.
So my handle is at Werner Becker Music, and that's Werner with a W, and Becker with a double K.
And then Music with an M.
With an M.
Easy as that, huh? Easy as that. Well, Werner, thanks so much for taking the time, and all the best, Obikopi, and everything else.
Thank
and
you.
Man, your songwriting ability is obviously shining through, and it's a very unique sound. So keep at it. You clearly know what you're doing. And yeah, I'm sure you're going to market those guitars pretty strong in your social media too.
Definitely.
Yeah, so if you're looking for a guitar, what was the name of the person who makes guitars?
Murray Kuhn.
But like the actual title?
Oh, a luthier.
A luthier. Well, there's the word for the day if ever was one.
A luthier.
All right, we've got Gareth's interview with Neil Harbison coming up. Now, if you missed the intro, the first part of the show today, Neil Harbison is a cyborg. No, you did not mishear me. He is the world's only cyborg. He's been recognized by a government. He's got an antenna in his head. There's a lot going on with the story, and it could be, who knows, Neil could be the future living right here in the present. It could all be happening. I tell you what's all going to be happening is this show again tomorrow. Poppy's with me tomorrow. Gord's a bit sickly, so he might not make it, so wish him good luck through that. And then Gareth and Sia will be joining us from London. But yeah, catch you tomorrow. The interview with Neil Harbison after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.